2 Samuel chapter number 9. I want to read some verses found there. You're in luck tonight. I will say this. That old saying, my dog ate my homework, came true on me today. I went to print my message out. I normally keep all record of my messages and I print them out. I keep them up to the last minute, and right before I leave the house, I want to hit print, and my computer would not boot up. So you're going to get the real summarized message tonight, but I want to give you what the Lord has laid on my heart, found in the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. The king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore all thee the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thee thy master's son all that pertained to the Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all my lord the king that hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this night, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd use me just a little while, Lord. I don't have any ability, Lord, except that which you give me, Lord. Lord, let me speak portraits of you tonight, Lord, to paint a picture of who you are, Lord, to myself, Lord, and to these people, Lord. We need thy help tonight. Thank you, Lord, we have a place to come. Lord, thank you for a Bible. Thank you for these people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you bless this service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I noticed in this chapter, it's a very probably familiar chapter with most of you on the Wednesday night crowd. I want to look at this thought tonight, portraits of the king. Portraits of the king. I remember one time we went on a cruise and we went to Alaska. And I never will forget this. We was in Juneau, Alaska, and we pulled up to a glacier there. And I said, I'll just get out and snap a picture. And I snapped a picture. You know, and you know how you do today. Digitally, you never print it off. You just got it all digital, right? I went back and I put it on my computer. And as I began to blow that picture up, I noticed one thing. In that picture, there was a great waterfall in the background. And to the naked eye, as far away as we was from it, it just looked like just a pretty small waterfall. And as I began to look at that picture, and I began to blow it up, and began to really dig into it, and look at it in minute detail, and blew up those pixels of what they call it, I began to see little people that looked like ants after I blew that up. And it let me see how big that glacier was. It let me see how big that waterfall was. Tonight, I want to paint you a picture of the king. How little we are. But see, if you look into this chapter and you look at Mephibosheth, each one of us is really a Mephibosheth. For we could not get to God, for in that he was holy. Mephibosheth couldn't get to the king's house. He was lame on his feet, wasn't he? He had to have somebody to get him there. He was so small. He was worthless. Mephibosheth, he couldn't even have the words to say or to express to the King David to even get him to look his way. But yet the king would do that. Tonight, by the way of introduction, I want to say three things and then I'll get into the heart of my message. Like I said, you're going to get the summary of the summary tonight. It's all what I got here, and it ain't much, but I'll do my best. First of all, by way of introduction, you'll see the families that are represented. You'll see King Saul's family was represented. You see, Jonathan was the son of Saul, and Jonathan had a son whose name was Mephibosheth. We all know that Saul was the people's king, wasn't he? He was the one, Brother Randy, not long ago, he preached about on Wednesday night out of 1 Samuel 15, where he was supposed to go in and slay all the Amalekites, but spared them, didn't he? He spared the best of what they had. He spared Agag the king. And from that moment on, God was displeased with that because he disobeyed the Lord, didn't he? And from that moment on, Saul lost his credibility with the Lord. He lost his favor with God. And God removed him from being king, but he raised up another king. You see, Saul was the king after the flesh. But God will raise up a king that was after the faith, and that was King David. And King David has now took over. And King David has ruled in Jerusalem. If you look at his lifespan, he ruled for 40 years. He ruled 7 years in Hebron, and then he reigned the last 33 years in Jerusalem. And that's where we find our story tonight. The families represented. Not only that, there was a friendship represented there, wasn't there? You see, the Bible said David and Jonathan, their heart was knit together. I'm glad God gives us people in the house of the Lord that our heart knit together. Our heart hurts tonight because our sister has went on to be with the Lord. It hurts us, but I want to say this, she's in a better place. And we feel that. Every time somebody I know close, and he's knit my heart with them, and we served in the army of the God. We served in the church house. We walked hand in hand. We've seen the promises of God fulfilled. We've seen people saved. We see people we prayed for. And God knits our hearts together. And tonight, we're as a family. And not only that, a friendship. You see, David and Jonathan made a covenant in that friendship. If you got your Bible, you can read it. You ain't got to read it tonight, but you can read it sometime. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter number 20 and verse number 14. They made a covenant. And that covenant was David would always look out for Jonathan's family. And Jonathan would always look out for David. And well, at the point of our story tonight, at the time here, we know that Saul and Jonathan have been slain. And that news had come up from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed. And what had happened was, as the nurse heard that there in 2 Samuel chapter number 4, where she had heard that Philistines was after them and they made them flee, when she went to flee, Mephibosheth at that time was 5 years old, she fell. And Mephibosheth became crippled because of a fall. Let me say this, we've all been crippled by a fall. And when Adam sinned in the garden, let me say this, we all fell because of that sin. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore is one man's sin entered in the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This story is about a family, it's about a friendship, but I said all that to say this, it's about a future. You see, Mephibosheth, because of all that, because the king had favor, because the king had that covenant, because the king looked after it, and he sought to do what he had made that covenant with Jonathan. He said, all the days of thy life I'll look after thy family. And he had one son named Mephibosheth, and he would show him that favor. And let me say this, he traded places because of that. He got him a new home. Let me say this tonight, I got me a new home. April 8, 1998, in the front row of Faith Baptist Church, I called upon God. God saved my soul. When I close my eyes down here, they may roll my body in front of this church. But let me say this, don't weep for me. I'm going to be rejoicing on the other side. I'm glad I got a Heavenly Father tonight. I'm glad Jesus died for my sins. I'm glad on a Wednesday night we can still praise Jesus for what He's done for me. I'm glad He's taken me from this world into His world tonight. I'm glad for what Jesus has done. I got four quick things about the portraits of Christ tonight found in this chapter. You'll see about old King David. And see if you can see him tonight. Remember, if you don't, any of y'all got any portraits you got at your house that you got printed out, from time to time you'll look at them, you'll examine it, and you'll say, man, I remember when I wore that. I remember when I had hair. I could comb it. Some of them pictures. You'll take those pictures out. I want to paint you a picture tonight of our king through the eyes of Mephibosheth in this story. Four things, and I'm done. The first thing you'll see is the king's pursuit. The king's pursuit. If you'll look down in verse number 4, it said, and the king said unto him, where is he? Talking about, where is Mephibosheth? And Ziba said unto him, said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Machor, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And here it is. The king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machor. That word fetched is a very peculiar word. It means to draw out. And for everything, I hope you get this tonight. If you don't get anything tonight, I'm glad there was a God who pursued me. All these people that said they found the Lord, let me say this, I didn't find him. I tried to turn over a new leaf. I tried to do better. I tried to do the things that I couldn't do. But let me say this, when he saved me, it turned my heart. It changed my life. Why? Because I had a king that pursued me. Each one person in this building and all around the world, guess what? He's pursued you. He sent the Holy Ghost out in this world. He sent preachers to preach to you. He sent family members to pray for you. He sent this one and that one. It might be somebody through a gentle act of kindness down at Walmart that says God loves you or Jesus cares for you. But God has sent out His word into this world to pursue you. And He pursued Mephibosheth. He was fetched. He was searched out. Not only that, I'll say he was selected. He was selected by the king. You say, how is he selected? Let me say this. That covenant that they made between Jonathan and David, he was selected. God showed him favor. I sit here tonight because of favor from God. I've seen things happen in my life that the worst thing in the world could have happened to me because of God's favor. And I can't explain it. I just know it's by grace through faith. And he works things out for us for His good. That Romans 8:28, we know God works out all things according to His own purpose. He puts those things together. You'll see the king's pursuit. I'm glad we have a God that pursues. I'm glad He doesn't leave us to Himself. I'm glad when I wasn't looking for Him, He was looking for me. I'm glad we have a God that pursues. The Bible said this in Luke 19, that He said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, didn't He? He said this in John 15 and 16. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. I'm glad I didn't choose Him. You see, if I'd have chose Him, I'd probably be washed up at home tonight. I'd probably quit a long time ago if I'd have chosen this. But let me say this. I'm glad we got a king that pursues. And He chose me, but He also chose you. And I'm glad I got a home in heaven because of that choice that the king made. Talking about that picture, the king's pursuit. You see, all that Mephibosheth couldn't get to God because he was so holy. And because Mephibosheth, because he was lame on his feet, couldn't get to God. But God sent somebody. And let me say this. Who did He send to your house? He sent the Holy Ghost to fetch me out. I remember I'll give you a little short testimony tonight of how I got saved. About a month before I got saved, I was walking into Walmart with one of my friends. And I had a man that I knew, and I've been knowing him a long time, and I knew he was a God-called preacher. And my brother was a God-called preacher. He looked me right in the eyes. I was with one of my friends. He said this. He said, he was really talking to my friend. He said, if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He automatically assumed I was saved because my brother was a preacher. We're all from the South. Everybody's saved in the South, ain't they? He said that to my friend. Let me say that. When he said that to my friend, the Holy Ghost was speaking to me. And I lay in bed at night, and you know what I'd see? I'd see that picture of that man asking me that question. And you know what it was doing? It was bringing me to a choice. You see, I'd already tried to do all the best I knew how to do. I tried to act good, tried to live right, You know, tried not to cuss, tried not to drink, do all those things. But let me say, it wasn't in me. But let me say this. When the Holy Ghost brings you to that decision and God changes that heart. I said, when God changes it. That's where everybody's got to get to, is when God changes them. You say, when did you get saved? It's when God changed me. He changed me on the front row of Faith Baptist Church by faith, through grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this. He was a God that pursued. He used that man in my life. And it was just like he was pointing that finger at me. I'd be there laying in bed tonight and say, Lord, help me do better. And God showed me that man. He said, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? That's what it's all about. The king's pursuit. But secondly, I'll say this. You'll see the king's place. You'll see this story is pictured in Jerusalem. But where was Mephibosheth from? It's a very interesting question. Mephibosheth was from a town called Lodebar. Everybody know what Lodebar means? That means the land of no pasture. That's where things didn't grow very well. That's where things wasn't watered very well. That's where your cows didn't have anything to eat. Your horses had nowhere to feed. That's where you didn't have any squash to grow, any okra, no corn, no tomatoes. You couldn't grow that there in Lodebar. It was not fertile. The land wasn't fertile enough to grow. Let me say this, talking about the place, and I won't labor here long. I'm glad God took me from a land called Lodebar. And He's put me in a fertile land. He's planted me here at Liberty Baptist Church. And I'm glad each time we meet, we can see the goodness of God. We can see that corn. We can see that okra. We can see that tomatoes. We can see all that pasture, and God's changed all that. Some of y'all went through some dry places in your life to get here to this place. I can guarantee it. You see, everybody don't have it like we have it here. Everybody don't get to hear the Word of God. They don't get to see the Holy Ghost move. They don't get to see the children worshiping God. Let me say this. I'm glad God's put us in a place tonight where we can see His hand move. We can see God, and we can worship Him in spirit and truth. The place. Not only the place, the king's place down in Jerusalem. I want to say thirdly, you'll see the king's personality. The king's personality. If you look in verse number 7, it said this, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake. Talking about kindness. Let me say this. The king orchestrated a rescue. Any of y'all been rescued? Rescue means to pull out. I remember when I was young, and I probably told y'all this story before, my parents took us to Whitewater. Any of y'all ever been there? I was young, and if my parents said we got to go anywhere back in those days, I was ready to go. Us to go to Whitewater was like, I mean, it was almost like Jesus coming back when I was growing up. Six Flags and Whitewater, yeah, we were ready to go. I remember this, we got into that lazy river that goes around that place. And somehow I got separated from my family. And of course, I was probably 8 or 9 years old at the time. And I did like every 8 or 9 year old boy would do. I sat there and cried. And I had a lady come by and she said, son, what's wrong with you? And she said, let me take you. And you know where she took me to? She took me to the lost and found. It had a big sign that said lost and found. And that's where she took me to. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have Life 360. We didn't have all that stuff back in. We didn't have Snapchat where you could view where everybody's at and every move. Say, mama, come get me and all that. We didn't have all that technology. She took me to the lost and found. You know what she was doing? She was really leading me to a rescue. And then my mom and daddy finally found me. They knew I was lost. They finally come by and they saw me. And of course, they was ready to whoop my tail because they said, you should have stayed, just like everybody. Your children all just stay with your parents all the time. But anyway, it was a rescue. I want to say this. God rescued me. The king, you know what he just did for Mephibosheth? He just orchestrated a rescue. Not only that, if you didn't notice it in that same text, there was a restoration made. The Bible said that it restored all the land of Saul and Mephibosheth. Now here it is. When you think about Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth had never worked a day in his life, had he? The Bible said he was lame on his feet. Let me say this. Mephibosheth, if you really got down to the nuts and bolts of Mephibosheth, was worthless to King David. He was worthless, wasn't he? He couldn't work for the king. He couldn't serve the king. He couldn't defend the king. That's what all the kings were looking for at that time, wasn't it? They were looking for somebody that would raise up a protector for them or be able to serve them or do something for them. Mephibosheth was totally worthless to King David. But yet, King David would show him that favor. And not only did he restore the land of Saul, he would redeem him. You know what he did? He just took ownership of him. Mephibosheth was worthless to King David, but yet King David, in all of his splendor, all of his power, would redeem Mephibosheth and make him as one of his own sons. Talking about the king's personality. Let me say this. When I got saved down that front row of Faith Baptist Church in 1998, guess what? He rescued me. He restored me. And guess what else he did? He redeemed me. He bought me with a price by the precious blood of Christ. Talking about the king's personality. Not only that, you'll see the pursuit of the king, the place of the king, the personality of the king, the provision of the king. Let me say this. He gave him everything he had. Look in verse number 10 in our text. It said, Therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, that thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son shall have food to eat, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Talking about the provision of the king. Now let me say this. If all of us went to a king's palace today, and they were to invite us to sit at their table, I wonder what that table would look like. I remember one time I went to a meeting at a well-known bank in Birmingham. It's a very large bank. I remember walking into that room, we was going to have a meeting, and they had a table. And I guarantee you it was as long as this church this way, and had it where they could sit people down both sides. And it was the biggest table I'd ever seen in all my life. And there was five of us sitting at a table that would seat 100 people for some reason. I sat at the very end and had one. Now we all sat together. But imagine walking into a king's palace. Imagine that, what that table would be set like. It'd probably be a five-course meal going to be served. Probably be nice glasses, nice silverware. The best of the best right at the king's palace. Mephibosheth all his life lived down in Lodabar. He probably didn't have a Jack's. Probably didn't have a McDonald's down in Lodabar. He had the worst of the worst. That's all he had known from the age of five when he encountered that fall when he got crippled and he was lame on his feet. But now he's sitting at the king's table. And David said he'd always. You know what that means? That means it's forever. Remember that ownership I was talking about when he redeemed him, when he took him in? He said, always at my table. I'm glad tonight. See, I'm not looking at what I've got down at 4211 County Road 87 in Roanoke. I'm looking at what my king has. See, he's got all the provision. I'm glad tonight I'm not depending on myself, not depending on my finances, not depending on anything I've got, but I'm depending on my king tonight. You see, he's got the map all the way to home. And all I've got to do is get behind my king. And matter of fact, if you look in the story, talking about the provision of the king, you'll see there's a table. Look in verse number 11. It said, Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all my lord king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table. Look at this. Y'all say those next words aloud. As one of the king's sons. Talking about that ownership there. The king's provision. Matter of fact, at that table, probably at that time, you could probably see Absalom in all his beauty. David's one of David's sons. David had all, he had several sons, and there was Mephibosheth. Let me say this, at the king's table, when they were sat down, you know what they couldn't tell? They couldn't tell Mephibosheth was lame on his feet when they was all sitting at the table. Let me say this, when we get to the other side, all those things that we've done, and we all got sins that God has forgiven us of. You know, none of us in here are perfect. But let me say this, when we get to the other side, and we're sat down at the king's table, guess what? We're all equal there. It don't matter if you committed 10 million sins or you only committed 5 sins. Let me say this, we're all equal. Nobody at the king's table could tell Mephibosheth was ever lame on his feet. As they began to eat, they all looked as one of the king's sons. Be careful who you judge. We're all part of the king's family if you've been saved. And then lastly tonight, talking about the king's provision. And then one more. We'll look at the king's peace. Look at it. In verse number 12, it said, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were the servants under Mephibosheth. And here it is, talking about the peace of the king. It said, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I want to say this tonight. God gave him a great peace. You see, Saul had plenty of enemies going on at the time, didn't he? No matter of fact, Saul had slain a lot of the Philistines by that time, and a lot of the countries, the enemies of Saul, guess what? They were the enemies of Jonathan. They were also the enemies of Mephibosheth. You see, all those people could have got back at Mephibosheth and said, I remember what your granddaddy did to me. Not only that, I remember what your daddy did to me. But let me say this. Why could Mephibosheth pillow his head every night? You know why? He had the king's peace. He could go and put his head on that pillow at night and say, I know the king's going to protect me. I know the king's got everything under control. I said all that to say this. How can I pillow my head at night knowing all this stuff in this world is going on? It's a dark world out there. And things aren't always going our way. But let me say this. I can pillow my head on my pillow tonight because of the king's peace. Amen. Talking about this. The portraits of the king. Hopefully tonight you've seen the king. Let me say this. There's plenty of Old Testament pictures of the king. That's just one story that God's given me to show you a little picture of what the king's done in my life. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this night. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, help us, Lord, to look at you. Lord, get our eyes off this world. Lord, see things as you see it, Lord. Lord, let us know that our days are numbered and we don't have long to serve, Lord. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for our church. I thank you for this great people you've given us here tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.